Scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and then 24 through 29. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, and then 24 through 29. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Let us hear God's word. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Then verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And then reading from Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now. We thank you for feeding us with the bread of the earth. You have done so in abundance, and we thank you. But now, heavenly Father, we want to be fed with the bread of heaven. We want to be fed with your word. And so we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would bless both the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. People have always been willing to devote their lives, to dedicate their lives for a cause, something that they passionately believe in. For some, it may be the pursuit of fortune and fame. Others, it may be the pursuit of freedom in their life. But whatever it is, people have always been willing to devote their life, dedicate their life to achieving a certain goal. Well, the prophets and the apostles and the saints of old are no different. As a matter of fact, they were so willing to devote their lives to a certain thing that in many cases, they devoted their entire life. They became martyrs for what they wanted to accomplish. What was that cause? What was it that they wanted to accomplish in their life? It was the privilege of seeing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The reward for the pure in heart is to see God in the beauty of His holiness. Here in our life, we see God, but we see Him as a poor reflection, as one looking into an old mirror that not every aspect of the mirror reflects the image very good. We see God in the works of creation. We see Him in the works of providence. We see God as He reveals Himself in the Scriptures. As one would look out on a field on a foggy morning and see somebody walking towards them but can't quite discern who it is. We see God in creation, in providence, and in His Word. But yet, to see Him as He truly is, it's foggy for us. But we are told that there will come a day that when we stand before Him, we shall see Him as He is. And oh, what a glorious vision that will be. This was the lifelong desire of every Israelite, the lifelong desire of the prophets. The high priestly blessing went like this from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. For the prophets and the saints of old, seeing God face to face meant that one was truly blessed by God. One had truly arrived. It's kind of like an athlete that at the end of his career, he is inducted into the Hall of Fame. It is the culmination of a great career. Well, for the saints, seeing the face of God was the culmination of living by faith in their life. We see this desire even in the disciples when they ask Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. You see, this desire of the prophets, this desire of the apostles, not only was for them, but it's also for us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And oh, what a glorious vision that will be. God is so holy. God is so glorious that we cannot stand to see Him right now. If we were to see Him as He was, we would die. The prophet Isaiah, who in his time was considered a great holy man. We are given the account there in Isaiah chapter 6. When he was allowed to see the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and around Jesus Christ, the cherubim were singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But the vision of the pre-incarnate glorified Jesus Christ was so great that even the cherubim had to cover their eyes. But the effect that it had on the prophet Isaiah was quite deadly. Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the Lord of glory. He says that I am undone, which means that he was literally coming apart. He was literally melting. The glory. God is so glorious that even if the sun in the sky were to shine a billion times brighter, it would not cast a shadow on Christ. That's why the Bible portrays God in illustrations of fire and light. The burning bush that spoke to Moses, that is a theophany. It is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the desert at night, that was Jesus Christ. The fire and the lightning that accompanied God's presence there on Mount Sinai after the giving of the Ten Commandments. That was Jesus Christ. And then the transfiguration of Jesus. It was so bright that He shone like the sun and His clothes were dazzling white. All these accounts describe to us the holiness and the perfection of God. And we being imperfect and still sinful, we could not stand to see God as He is. For we would be consumed. We would be destroyed. You know, after you've been asleep all night and somebody comes in your room and turns the light on, you know, oh man, you cover your eyes up. That's kind of what it would be like if we were to see God as He is. Except covering our eyes would not protect us. We would be consumed and be killed. But the promise is, for those who are pure in heart, they shall see God. But what will that be like? Well, God and heaven, they are all beyond our description. To try to describe God, and the Scriptures do, but even the Scriptures come short in describing God for who He is. When Jesus talks about hell, He talks about the burning and the agony. But even as Jesus describes hell, though He describes it as being true, yet the description still escapes us, because we would have to multiply Jesus' description of hell 1 billion times to get a truer understanding. And so it is in seeing God. The Scriptures describe God for us. And what the Scriptures say is true. But even the Scriptures come short, because they cannot describe God as He truly is. They cannot fully reveal that which is incomprehensible. The reason that Solomon was dressed in such fine array was because he was a type, or he was a figure of the glory of Christ. The reason that the temple was, when it was built, was so majestic was because the temple was a shadow of heaven. And just think of what the transfiguration of Christ on the Mount was like. Think of what it was like to stand at the bottom of the mountain when God descended upon the mountain to give the Ten Commandments. It was so glorious. There was such lightning and thunder that even Moses feared for his life. But if the transfiguration of Christ was so great, if the giving of the written law was so glorious, what will it be like when the one who gave the written law to us stands before us, for us to see Him in His fullness? Oh, we will hear the seraphim sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But in that day, we will not be like Isaiah, who called down the curses of God upon himself. Instead, we will be glorified, we will be fully sanctified, and we will see God as He is. As John the Baptist, when he was still in his mother's womb, he leaped for joy at the sound of Jesus' mother Mary. So we shall leap for joy at the sound of Jesus at His coming and His inauguration as King over the earth and over heaven. And this joy of ours will never diminish. It will never fade. It will never go away. But instead, this joy of seeing Christ will be a consistent and constant element of our life for all eternity. Thus it raises a question. How does one qualify for this beautiful sight? How does one qualify for seeing God? Well, it's by seeing the invisible right now. In the story of the transfiguration of Jesus on the Mount, he wasn't alone. Elijah was there with him. Moses was there with him. But what qualified Moses and Elijah for such a privilege? Well, the scriptures tell us about Moses. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered against sin because he saw him. He saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. What's going on here, y'all? Well, what is being said is that Moses was qualified to see the glory of Christ because all his life he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. He lived by faith. He devoted his life to God. He stayed the course. He did not veer to the right or to the left, but he continued down the narrow road. He lived his life as if what was invisible to him was right before his face. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to ask you to push a peanut all the way down a football field and then down the end zone and then all the way back up the football field and across the end zone and back up this way. If I ask you to push a peanut with your nose all that distance, would you do it? If you would, you'd probably be crazy. No, you wouldn't do that. But if I promised to give you $1 billion... if you did it, you would try. And as you push that peanut with your nose, you'd get tired. Your muscles would start to ache. You would need to rest. But what would you do? Would you not remind yourself, oh, if I just persevere, if I just take one step at a time and keep going, I will finish the course. I will win the race. I will attain that $1 billion. Yeah, you would do that. I would do that. We will all do that. Well, the same is true with Moses. He chose disgrace for the sake of Christ. He endured for the sake of Christ. He was persecuted. He was abandoned. And he persevered for the sake of Christ. When he got tired, when he was hurting, when he got frustrated. Just like you would remind yourself of the $1 billion. The scriptures talk about Moses keeping before him and seeing the one who is invisible. And he did that by faith. The psalmist was speaking like Moses when the psalmist says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord. And I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. When Moses was going through all of that difficulty, what kept him going? What kept him going was that he always kept his eyes on the Lord. While others were looking for their hope, their comfort, their security in earthly things, Moses, Elijah, King David, Isaiah, they all looked toward heaven. They looked to the one who sits on the throne. By faith, they could see the one who is invisible. Thus, they gained strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Do you live by faith in Jesus Christ? Can you see the invisible one now with the eyes of faith? Do you live by faith in God's word? Or do you live by only what you can see in this world? Can you not see God working out His good and pleasing will in your life? You know, it's very interesting that here in our passage, it says that Moses saw the invisible one in what? He saw the invisible one in the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. The sacraments that were given to the Old Testament church that were prefiguring Jesus Christ and prefiguring the sacraments of the New Testament church. The scriptures say that in those Old Testament sacraments, Moses saw Christ. That in the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, Moses saw Christ. That in the priesthood, someone to represent the people before God, Moses could see Christ. In leading through the desert, Moses could see Christ our King. Well, we too have been given a sacrament. A sacrament that is the fulfillment of the Passover. It is the Lord's table. It is communion. It is the Lord's Supper. And in this table, we can see the invisible one. We can see Him. We see His love shed for His people. We see His faith in God's Word because He trusted what God the Father said to Him even as He hung on the cross. Father, into Your hands I commit my soul. Right from the Psalms, right up to the point of His death, Jesus is quoting God's Word. We see His love for you. We see His love for God's Word. We see His strength. We see His compassion. We see in this sacrament the presence of the one who is invisible. We can see Him working to deliver us from our sins, to deliver us from the bondage of sin, to protect us from the evil one, and to lead us through that desert life all the way to the promised land. According to the purity of your heart, according to the purity, the devotion, the faith in Christ. Will you see Christ even now? If your heart is impure, if you do not have faith in Christ, you do not see Christ in this table. It is just a table for you. But for those who truly have their faith set upon Christ, oh, we see the clear picture of the invisible one. Sinner, if you were to see God, you must come to that rock that shielded Moses from the presence of God. That old rock of ages, who is Jesus Christ. It is Christ that shields us from the holiness of God so that we would not be consumed. But it's also Christ who takes us by the hand and brings us into the presence of God the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. O rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. It is in the rock of Christ that our hearts are made pure, so that we are enabled to see the invisible one. This very day, if you have not started, begin your sight of God this very day, repenting of your sins, taking hold of God through Jesus Christ. And it is in this table, the one who is invisible reveals himself to us. Therefore, by faith, let us embrace him, love him, and trust him. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrament of the Lord's table that you have given to us, because in it we are enabled to see the invisible one who lived and died and was resurrected and now glorified for us. Oh, Father God, we pray for pure hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would devote our entire life to you, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would be led away from the love of the world, that as we approach Jerusalem, we would lay the gold and the silver of the earth at your feet and keep our eyes upon you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us prepare ourselves to receive the sacrament by standing and singing hymn number 87, verses 1 through 4. Let us stand as we sing.